Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. We just finished week 4 in college football, week 3 in the NFL. Good, bad, dumb, but is it the good of the day? The good of the day, my friend.
I could have gone anywhere. I mean, we had so much good in college football, so much good in the NFL, but I decided to go to baseball.
Okay.
And just highlight something special that's definitely getting passed over and no one's paying any attention to. And that's the fact that we now have an only member, Ronald Acuna, in the 40-60 club.
All right, very good.
So he belted his 40th home run Friday night, putting him in the 40-40 club, which joins 5 other people. And I remember the first time that ever happened was such a huge deal.
That was a major deal.
And
yeah.
Most of those guys were on steroids.
Right.
Now they come to find out. But he is, in fact, not only in the 40-40 club, but he is in the 40-50, 40-60. And as one writer put it, could end up in the 40-70 club by the time it's all said and done.
That's my, listen, I'm going on a limb here, but the Atlanta Braves, I'm picking them to win the World Series. I know it's a gamble. I know it's a risk.
It's a risk.
Now, they're really good. They are really good.
And he's doing this, and he's hitting almost 340 at the same time. So,
And you got Matt Olson leading the majors in home runs, and they're fantastic.
Yeah, that's
isn't
that
really
the thing.
Good.
I mean, he's not even Ronald Acuña only has 40 home runs.
That's
he's
right.
Not even leading the team.
That's right. That's the one thing they do. They can hit home runs. Marcelo Zuna too. He hits a bunch of home runs.
Yeah,
they got Spencer Strider and on the pitching.
I know we talked about it once, but they haven't broken the record yet, right?
No, I don't think they have. That was set by the Twins a couple years ago. Yeah, I don't think they have yet. I'll have to double check, though.
I know.
Usually, I tend to lose track of baseball during the weekend, and then I go, oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, that's happening.
Here's the bad part of it all, too. I mean, it's not the bad of the day. It's just the bad part of this. I don't know who's in the playoffs.
Yeah. You're going to have to go to the standings and figure it out. Listen, is it good that the Yankees were eliminated from the postseason yesterday officially?
I think so.
I think so. I think America's like, good. Yeah. Yankees and the Red Sox in the bottom part of the AL East.
Yeah, we can
good.
Stop talking about them now.
Yeah, be done. Disappear, both of you. No more Sunday night baseball schedules.
Yeah. Another team that, I guess no one's really talked about, but it's kind of shocking that they're eliminated too, is the Cardinals.
Cardinals, yeah. They went to the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Had a lousy season.
And have probably the best corner infielders on the planet.
Yeah, they're crazy. It's crazy.
And they're eliminated.
They are eliminated. The Orioles and Rays still duking it out, 2.5 games back there. Minnesota clinched the Central, Texas, Houston, and Seattle. That's been awesome, but it's there's a little bit of separation now. Houston kind of blew it this weekend.
Yeah.
And then the Braves, of course, have the best record in baseball. They've got 100 wins. Milwaukee clinched the Central. The Dodgers clinched the West. And then you've got, the Cubs, the Reds, the Phillies, the Marlins, the Diamondbacks. They're all fighting for prominence in the wild card standings.
And here's the crazy thing. Like I said, would you even have known?
That's right.
That's how much football takes over. You have exciting, really exciting races going on in baseball right now.
I know.
This National League wild card thing is everyone's tied with each other. Yeah, the AL West, all of them just duking it out. I mean, one team's winning, one team's losing, and it just keeps going back and forth. And we care more about, the Dolphins blew out the Broncos.
Exactly.
It wasn't even entertaining, except
we'll
if you like
next
touchdowns.
Month. We'll see next month when we get the playoffs, because it does, people do pay attention to the postseason.
Yeah.
But you're right, the races, I think it's a little bit, this is one of the reasons why they wanted to expand it, was they wanted to be like, look, the more cities that we can have in the races, the more it is going to lead or be part of the coverage. Like if you're a news broadcaster, let's say in Pittsburgh, you're leading with the Steelers. You might even bring up Pitt. You might even bring up something else. And then you go, oh, yeah, by the way, the Pirates, they're wrapping up their series with so-and-so, and they're 25 games out of first place. So they're not, you know, see, but if you allow the expansion of the wild card, now all of a sudden people in Cincinnati are like, yeah, the Reds are still in this thing. The Cubs are still in this thing. Like you're bringing in a bunch of cities that are all vying for position. And now you're going to be like, hey, it may not be the lead dog on a football Sunday, but at least we can be the second story rather than recapping college from 24 hours ago. And then I think that's a good thing for baseball. But you got to be careful because you can't have everybody involved. You can't throw everybody into the mix.
Yeah, it can't be the NBA.
Right, it can't be the NBA. So there's just a little tiny, like, you got a little too much salt or just enough seasoning, either way. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day has got to go to the Jets ground crew.
The Jets ground crew.
Yes. So the Jets ground crew is in charge of painting the end zones and painting the logo onto the turf field. And I don't know if they waited till the very last possible second to paint the white part of the logo in the center or the white Jets in the end zone, because that paint was not dry at all.
Oh,
and there
yeah.
were footprints everywhere. Sloppy.
Was the weather have anything to do with that? Because it was kind of yucky out.
I mean, possibly, but...
Is it possible? Like, you just couldn't dry?
Doesn't everyone else... I mean, I've never really seen that happen before.
No.
I see the uniforms get it all the time.
Right.
And, you know, that's fine. You know, you see... if you're wearing a white jersey and you're playing against the Chiefs, your jersey's going to end up being a tint of red at some point. That just happens. But it's just footprints. It's just walking around in the end zone and just...
So I got a question. So if you are a team that has a stadium where you're the only football team there, do you have to repaint it all the time?
That's a great question. Maybe you have to touch it up.
You have to touch it up a little bit because you do want to make it look sharp on TV.
Yeah.
Or like if you're in a multi-purpose stadium, you're like, well, we got to clean it up, put the Giants down and then whatnot. Friday night, I did a football game at a school that had artificial turf.
Okay.
And I'm not a big artificial turf versus natural grass guy. I think natural grass should be it. But so this is a high school game. And I went, this is great. Like, there's no cleats all over the place. Like, by the time you play a game, sometimes the field is so wrecked, you can't even tell the line where the numbers are.
Right.
Like, you can't even see the 20 anymore. You can't even see the 40 anymore. This was sharp and bright and easy to just know where the ball was. And then I realized, no, but it's still on artificial turf. And I hope a kid doesn't blow his ACL while he's running on this field. But man, it does. Yeah. It looks great.
Do you know why that happens more on turf than on grass?
I don't know. Is it do the cleats catch the rubber? I don't know.
I understood the old artificial turf that was just pretty much a green plastic thing over concrete.
Exactly. That was nasty.
I mean, it was almost like painting concrete green. I understand why all the injuries happen from that. But I've played on brand new turf with the crushed up tire or crushed up the rubber part of a
gives you
shoe.
The cushion. Yeah,
yeah. I've played on that before, and I've never had any issues with it.
Yeah. And by the way, here's the thing.
Knock on wood, because I know I'll be playing on it again sometime.
If it happened every game all the time, just because it happens once or twice to key players, it's not an epidemic. It's
no.
not. I don't think it's a major issue. Like, yeah, it. When you see Odell Beckham Jr. twist his ACL, bust his ACL in a non-contact fall at the Super Bowl, you go, okay, yeah. And same thing with Aaron Rodgers, right?
But isn't
the turf allowed you to get hurt more?
But was that the turf, or was that, because it was a loose part of turf?
Right, a loose part of turf.
And like,
right?
Aaron Rodgers, I think that would have happened on grass.
It didn't look
like it was because of the turf that his Achilles popped. It was because there was a 300-pound guy sitting on his back, and he put his leg down to keep driving forward, and body went, you can't do this, you're 40.
The guy that was doing the game with me Friday, he was saying that the school we cover and another school in the district, they're proposing spending money on artificial turf. And it's like, yeah, because how much money do they spend watering and growing and maintaining the fields? Like, look, you're going to pay X amount here, so you won't have to pay X amount for 25 years, right? It's like, it's, you know, yeah, it's, I'm sorry, I'm not screaming to the high heavens about artificial grass in some capacity. So.
No, I think yeah. I mean it's going to be the wave.
Yeah. Somebody also hit me up on Twitter. I think I can find this answer on Google, but when they ice hockey, is that a in hockey, do they paint the like logo on the board and then the ice goes over that? Are they painting it on the ice? Like how does that work?
Like it's actually a fantastic question.
Are they painting the Boston Bruins logo? Oh, better yet, the Blackhawks logo, which is a complexity of colors.
You know,
are they doing that every single game?
Next time we have Dennis Bernstein on,
we should ask him. How does that work?
That's got to be the first question.
And I went to a ton of Avalanche games when I was in Colorado. I never asked this question. I'm like, how does that look so sharp every game? Are you just maintaining it on a whiteboard and then the ice goes on top of the whiteboard? You're not actually painting the ice. That doesn't make sense. You're not actually doing that. So you're not doing that.
Or maybe you are, because are you thawing all that ice?
So are you thawing the ice and then repainting it every time? Yeah. See, listen, I know it sounds small, but it's the little things that make me curious and keeps me alive.
That's a lot of water.
It is. Dumb of the Day coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's get back to the good, the bad, and the dumb, and let's get right back to the Dumb of the Day.
Dumb of the Day. You mentioned it earlier in the show. I'm going back and revisiting it. And it's the fact that quarterbacks are reaching out to the Jets, and the Jets are saying no.
Well, that's a great point.
I can't think of anything else because I mean, you know, it's I don't know. Albeit it's Matt Ryan, Carson Wentz. I mean, they're kind of washed up, but the fact that the Jets just aren't looking anywhere else or not. I mean,
there's some reasons behind that I want to get to. Can we play the Robert Saleh cut that we didn't finish? Because we ran out of time?
Of course.
Let's play the Robert Saleh cut where he says Zach Wilson remain the starting quarterback.
Has Zach shown you enough to keep him as the starter going forward?
Yeah, he's fine. That's not a question.
At what point do you just decide maybe, you know, you don't want to let the season get away from you? So do you continue to go, like, if it continues to go in this bad direction?
We're still early in the season. You know, we knew that even with Aaron at quarterback, we knew that there was going to be some hiccups along the way because of the new offense, new play caller, new line, new players all over the offense side of the ball, and now you've got this curveball that was sent to us, and so there's, you know, they're acclimating and they're going to get better, and but it's still very early in the season.
What? I'm going to be honest with you. I can't think of a worse answer. Did he just say that he thought Aaron Rodgers, because of a new offensive, new players, would have hiccups at this time of the year?
Yeah.
Did he admit that I would not have coached up this football team the entire offseason and all of training camp and three preseason games so that by week number four, going into week number four against Kansas City next weekend, we would still be talking about hiccups with Aaron Rodgers?
There was going to be, I mean, you know, Aaron can't do everything.
Are you kidding me? Listen. All right, first of all, here's the thing. Sal isn't, I'm going to give him a pass for the answer in the press conference, because as we've said before, unless he has an answer, he can't make a statement, right? So you can't get to the podium. So right now, looking it up, Tim Boyle is the backup quarterback for the Jets, which to me, I'm just guessing, is the equivalent of having Zach Wilson as your quarterback. Otherwise, Tim Boyle would be starting. He cannot go to the podium after a game and say, we are screwed, we need to find somebody, and we better go find somebody by Monday.
Is there anyone in the stands that could throw a ball? Right.
So if you were looking for Robert Saleh to get on the podium and say, yeah, no, we're done. We don't have anybody that can play quarterback, and we don't know what we're going to do. We're probably going to audition guys midweek. We'll see if we can fly some guys in, and maybe, just maybe, we'll be ready by... What does that say to everybody in the locker room? Doesn't matter what side of the ball you play.
Yeah.
So you need to say to the public, we've got our quarterback. Now, behind the scenes, you can say whatever you want, and you can talk to Joe Douglas about anything you want, but you cannot tell the public after the game that you have no idea where your quarterback situation is going to be on Sunday against the Chiefs. You have to say, look, it's Zach Wilson. You may not like it, but it's Zach Wilson because you don't have another answer.
Now, do you privately work someone out? Or
that's what you say. No, you don't even have to privately work anybody out.
Because I swear, as soon as you bring in one person, as soon as you bring in, like, say, Marcus Mariota, that was the name you and I talked about. I was like, you know, why not go after him? Yeah, I mean, he's better than Zach at this point.
But what you have to do, what you have to do is you have to say, before we do any of this, before we make one phone call working anybody out or talking to anybody, can we afford it? This is a salary cap league, and we just asked the starting quarterback to shave off $35 million so we could afford other players on this football team. Can we afford it? Is somebody going to come in and play for peanuts? No, and if they're playing for peanuts, we don't want them because we've got a guy on the staff that'll play for peanuts. It's going to cost us $3, $4 million to bring in a guy this year. Can we afford it? If we can't, what are we going to do about it? So we can't bring in anybody – we cannot bring anybody in unless we have an agreement with that player and his agent that this is the only amount we can pay you if you indeed want to play here. So it's beneficial for you to play here. It's beneficial for us. But if you think we're going to work you out like you and then you come back with a $10, $12 million demand, we can't afford it. So that's what the Jets have to figure out. What can they afford to pay where they're pretty tight on the cap already? And who are they going to have to get rid of to make room on this roster for this individual? And how much are they going to pay him? So it's I know it sounds easy, but if you're Matt Ryan, are you getting out of a broadcast booth contract to go play 1 year for the Jets for $2 million? When you're a broken down, I just got my butt kicked in Indianapolis last season and the offensive line for the Jets is terrible. Am I going to go through that again? Right? That's the question you have to ask.
All right, then the other question would be then is how long of a leash do you have for Zach Wilson on Sunday?
That's the problem, right? Because Zach Wilson can't win you football games. That's it. It's over. You cannot do it.
I mean, do you start Tim Boyle?
You're going to have to figure
Boyle
yeah.
there and just now, go. I mean, not start him the game, but bring him in, say at the half. If Zach Wilson hasn't even moved the ball, then, you know, they pretty much look like what Justin Fields was doing against the Chiefs this past Sunday. If he has that same type of game and, you know, just can't do anything, you got to bring Tim Boyle in and go, okay, enough's enough. I mean, there's you know, 52 other guys who actually do want to win, and Zach Wilson just can't get it there for us.
And people are saying, well, the offense, Nathaniel Hackett needs to change the offense. This is Aaron Rodgers' offense. Zach Wilson is not prepared for this offense. But I like what Jason Cole said. You don't have to tell that kid to go out there and play a game look, here's the problem that Robert Saleh is facing, right? Again, I understand what he has to do on the podium. I get it. I've been there a million times. I know that you have to say flat out lies because telling the truth creates another set of dynamics that you don't want to deal with. Right. So if you are the Jets and you're going, if this is the narrative that keeps coming out of people saying, well, why is he playing the offense best suited for Aaron Rodgers? Why haven't they changed the offense best suit Zach Wilson? Then why aren't you doing that? Like, why aren't you doing that? The defense is good enough to keep you in games. That was 15-10, right? That's a winnable game. That's three scoring drives and you win the game, right? So you need to put him in a position to get you those, whatever it may be. You're not asking Zach Wilson to score 37 points. That defense doesn't give up 38. So if you want to keep him as your quarterback because he gives you the best chance to win, how many points does it take to win with that defense? It's to me, the organization hasn't done a different thing since losing Rodgers, and you're supposed to do a different thing when you lose your starting quarterback. You've got to make it easier. You've seen it time and time again, right? Sometimes like you lose a quarterback for the year, a backup's going to be your quarterback. You have to dumb it down a little bit. I saw it with Ben Roethlisberger. When Roethlisberger would get hurt, some of the things Ben could do, his backups couldn't do. Mason Rudolph could not do, right? A number of others that came in. That's just the way it is. It's the way they're built. Not every quarterback's the same. Aaron Rodgers had an offense built to satisfy what he does best. That's not what Zach Wilson does best. Now, what are the Jets fighting for? Well, look at the AFC right now. There's only one team that's undefeated in the AFC. That's Miami. right? That's it. We're not talking about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams that after 3 weeks are unbeaten and superior. You can get into the playoffs still. The Cincinnati Bengals might be in some trouble with Joe Burrow's injury, right? The Ravens just lost. You're looking down the line going, Tennessee is not going to be competitive. You're looking down the line going, where are we in the wild card? Where could we be in the wild card? If they had beaten the Patriots, it certainly would have been a leg up in the division because the Patriots would have been 0-3 and you would have been 2-1. The Bills and Dolphins may fight for the top with the winner getting the wild card. That's fine. But you're talking if 3 wild cards, get 9 wins and see what happens. Your defense is good enough to keep you in these games. But if they need a quarterback, they're going to have to do it. And there's going to be guys who will do it for cheap. There'll be guys who will be like, sure, it's a 1-year deal to revitalize my career. Sure. What about Nick Foles? What's Nick Foles doing these days?
Yeah.
Where is he? Is he still kicking around? Last time I checked, is Nick Foles like 40?
He hasn't retired, has he?
Is he? I'm going to look it up right now. Nick Foles, to see exactly where he is. He's like 34.
That's young.
That's young. Where is he? What's he doing? What team is he on now? Last year he was on the Indianapolis Colts. He doesn't appear to be on a team right now.
Nope.
Why don't you pick up the phone and call Nick Foles? Wasn't he a former Jet? No, I don't think he was a former Jet. I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm thinking one of the McCowns was a former Jet.
Listen, I just Googled free agent quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And there's plenty for them to choose from.
Pick a guy, pay him $2 million, find a guy you can cut that's about that, and get Nick Foles or somebody else in there.
Yeah.
You're not asking him to be your star. You're not asking him to pay him $20 million a year. Hey, you want to play in the National Football League again? We got an opening. Come on in. Yeah. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.